Okay, everyone, Friday the 8th of March, and we've reached the final morning briefing of the week. I am Hamish. We've got Ryan here as well to talk about a number of interesting things happening with regards to Celtic. Good to see so many of you in the chat already. Impatient, Ryan. They're impatient for Celtic chat, and who can blame them at this stage? This video is sponsored by MPH Group for all your plumbing, heating, kitchen and bathroom needs. So a big thanks to them. Links will be in the description if you want to know more. How are things, Ryan?
Things are good, yeah. Feels like I've been talking about Celtic so much. As yesterday I was doing my other podcast as well with Ryan, so, you know, probably clued up in all of the things that we're going to talk about, but that's quite good because that podcast isn't out. It'll feel like I'm saying it for the first time. Yeah, looking forward to the game on Sunday. A chance to, again, get back to winning ways, but, you know, it's a cup game. Maybe the pressure will be off just a tad, but Celtic need to go to Hampden. You know, they need to put their name into the hat for the Hampden games. So, yeah, as much as I say the pressure may be off, the pressure's certainly never off when Celtic are playing. They know what they have to do Sunday, just get their hat in the next round of the draw. Get their name in the hat for the next round of the draw. that's going to be like the good enough.
It's a strong start. It's a strong start, right? I think, there's all, as you say, there's always pressure. I think it's fair to say it's a different kind of pressure. We're away from the league. You know, it's a cup match. But yeah, it's a game we have to win. I was looking at, you know, we've got a couple of games to go before the international break, and they're both at Celtic Park. Doesn't feel like we've had many games at Celtic Park recently. So back-to-back games, they both have to be victories, and hopefully it's a chance against two teams kind of lower in the Premiership, you know, to get a couple of wins and performances together. So yes, Marco Tellio is injured again, Tom Mack. I think they're looking at 6 weeks, potentially a hamstring injury with Melbourne City, so a blow for him. Abada, no longer a Celtic player. Sad?
A wee bit, yeah. Just his statement, you know, and all those stills that he had of the goals that he scored, you realise just how big a player he was for Celtic over the past two seasons. Maybe more so in the first season than the second, but the second season, he still had that memorable double against Rangers in the 4-0 victory. Big game player, yeah. Player that popped up in the big moments, ghosting in at the far post. I remember, I think Borna Barisic will never forget Leal Abada, especially for that third goal in the 3-0 victory. Yeah, he's moving on to pastures now. I think it was a necessary clean break, and I hope he does well at Charlotte FC. He's a young designated player. I was a bit surprised at the length of the deal. He's only got, 2 years for an option for a third, which I thought was quite, not puzzling, but strange considering, you know, he's a young designated player, and you would think that maybe that franchise would want to build their team around a player like Abada. So I thought it'd be a bit longer, but you know, he'll be working under Dean Smith, a guy that knows, you know, British football well, so he'll have scouted him or heard about him before. He'll know all about him. I hope he does well over in Charlotte, but yeah, I think that chapter's now closed.
Yeah, 100% is. What did we make of his Instagram post, everyone? It was, I must admit, like, I wasn't expecting to see anything from Abada. I kind of thought he would, you know, slip out the door, leave the club and probably address everything that's gone on in an interview. Fair play to him is my reaction for two things, for posting that and sticking to the football mainly, but also not completely skipping over what's been a difficult period for him. He addressed that. I mean, he clearly didn't write that himself. I'm guessing someone, you know, close to him with, you know, with English as their first language put that together just based on some of the phrases used, but it was clearly his thoughts he wanted to get across, and yeah, I thought fair play. I kind of looked at that and went, right, fair play, go and enjoy the rest of your career. There's no doubt he offered us some really big moments. It's kind of sad how things worked out in the end. But yeah, he moves on. And I guess as time goes on, people will remember. I don't know, is it harsh to say they'll maybe remember his goals even more than they remember him as a player? I guess they're kind of the same thing, but you know what I mean?
It's harsh at all.
Those three goals against Rangers in the 3-0 and the 4-0 derby, I mean, especially that one in the 3-0 when he ghosted in at the back post and kind of nudged that into the back of the net. That's a goal we'll look back at for the rest of our lives and love that moment and what it stood for.
It's one of my favourite moments as well, because the people in the crowd, the supporters in the crowd, were still celebrating the second goal, and the third goal just comes out of nowhere. It's kind of like that Forest goal that he scored a few years ago against Rangers, where the fans are already off their seats, and then they stay off their seats because another goal just fired in.
Forgot
what a moment that was. Yeah, it's one of my favourite goals. He's not even his most important goal at Celtic. For me, his most important goal, and I think it's one that shouldn't be forgotten, is that goal against Dundee United, that last minute one. Celtic are down to 10 men. His fellow countryman in near Beaton gets sent off, and Abada, what a first touch, and then skyrockets it into the back of the net. And it goes utter bed. I think people remember the celebration just as much as the goalie had his top off. Jota was in another end of the stadium, jumping into the supporters. That was the galvanisation, because Rangers had dropped points that day against Ross County away from home. It just seemed as if everything was coming together under Ange Postecoglou. These are moments that you just won't forget, and regardless of what's happened over the past few months, you can't forget these moments that Abada's given you. I can't believe he's only 22 as well. That's crazy how young he came into the team, and he was a first team player. It's not as if he came in as a project. Well, maybe he was a project, but you know, he was a project that was ahead of schedule because he was playing almost every game in the first season. Second season, he was more of a sub than a starter. But you know, it goes with my best wishes. It didn't go the way I wanted it to go with him, especially considering he signed that new deal back at in the 1st of September. But I wish him well, and he gave the club some great moments.
Be interesting to see what level he goes to in his career. He's gone out to the MLS. Will he come back to Europe at some stage? Steve McGrory, Leal's final message was excellent, mature and heartfelt. Agreed. Gordon didn't sound like a guy that was hounded out by fans, just a guy caught in a bad situation. All the best, Abada. I must admit, that was one of the things I took from his Instagram post, was like the pressure from people in Israel has probably been quite intense on him to leave Celtic, and I think that's almost probably had more to do with you know, the move than maybe, you know, people talking about the Celtic support having an effect themselves. And I thought that kind of came across. He was very clear to thank the Celtic support, you know, who had supported him. Love it. Sad to see Abada leaving, but best for him and the club. And Steve saying a lot of the players from that time that have gone seem to put up heartfelt messages. Jota, Abada, Starfelt. I mean, they all loved their time at the club. It's kind of the done thing now, isn't it, as well? Would Henrik Larsson have had Instagram back in the day? I think he has it now, so he probably would have. But if he'd have left, he would have put up a big heartfelt post and all that stuff. But everyone does it nowadays, don't they?
The amount of water damage that would have been directly contributed because of that goodbye post due to people's tears would have been incredible. But yeah, he does have Instagram. He actually liked one of the Celtic Way's posts recently as well, so it shows that you know, he can see us, which is absolutely brilliant. Probably he's
hi, Henrik.
Yeah, it'd be great if he's watching. Probably a member of his team, but you know, it's great to see that either way. Yeah, it would be interesting to see who would be, you know, if you take players from that era to this era, who would be the social media people, and who maybe wouldn't be. But yeah, I'm sure that Henrik Larsson's sort of goodbye would have been incredible. You know, he had DVDs made of him. After all, he scored so many goals for the club, so that would have been one for the ages, I'm sure. But it was a different time then. It's a different time now. It's good to see players really looking back on their time positively, or at least through Instagram, looking back through it positively. Jota, Starfelt, and now Leal Abada. You know, these ones, it was a special group, this, under that Ange Postecoglou group over the two seasons. And it's sad to see it break up, but at the same time, it's football, and you expect that.
Yeah, not long now before we see one of those, like, you know, the images you see of a team lining up before a big match and they've kind of greyed out. They've got the players who have left in black and white. It won't be long before we see one of them, I think, from the 3-0
derby. I think I'm ready for
that. I might meet one myself, eh? Brown Warriors pointing out something very worrying here. As Carter Vickers next out the door, the board's new policy seems to be alphabetical. So we've had Abada, Bernabe. It's not looking good for CCV.
Yeah.
Any comment on that?
5-year deal. You know, you put me on the spot there. 5-year deal. That would be a massive blow. If he can stay fit, he's going to be so important for Celtic. Not just
he's not leaving, by the way, everyone. Want to say Brown Warrior is worried as all because of the alphabetical thing, but yeah, he's not going anywhere.
I was actually trying to think of a player that maybe could go in place of him, starting with C, and I was looking through it all, and nobody's came to mind as of yet. But yeah, he's going to be so important in the years to come.
Yeah. Don't think there's a C out there. Bernabe, what about Bernabe leaving? No Instagram post from Bernabe at the time of speaking.
It's not worked out for him, has it? Although he did have those couple of games that he played. I think everybody's got the Kilmarnock mistake firmly in their heads, as well as the Aberdeen mistake. You know, it's mistakes that you're talking about rather than moments of individual brilliance with Bernabe. It's good that he's moved to Pastures now. I hope that he gets a permanent deal off the back of that move. Internacional, big club in Brazil. It's a good chance for him to reset his career. I was reading a massive thread by Internacional fans that did all his good and his bad points, and it's quite weird seeing that when you're usually looking at them when Celtic are signing a player, but when another team are signing a player from Celtic, you're seeing all the goods and bads and a player that you've watched for two seasons. So yeah, hope he does well at his new club. Don't wish him any harm whatsoever. I hope it comes off for him, but his future's clearly not at Celtic, and when you're not trusted to be a backup, then, you know, the writing's on the wall for you, unfortunately. So he moves on, best wishes, but yeah, he was never going to be a first-team Celtic player or a consolidated one.
Yeah. Internacional seemed to signed a few players. I was scrolling for their kind of announcement of Bernabe, and it was like a way down, so I think they're going on a bit of a spending spree at the moment, so we'll keep an eye. He's only on loan, so we'll keep a bit of an eye on him to see how he does. What else? We're looking ahead to Livingston this weekend. And I think Rodgers has got a few decisions to make in terms of his team. We're obviously going to be without Yang. We're going to be without Callum McGregor as well. So he's got a right wing berth to fill. And he's got to work out what to do with that midfield. And I know you quite like him, I think. But for me, Bernardo wouldn't be in my team for the weekend. I personally don't think the guy has the kind of consistency and the consistent drive to play for Celtic. Too many games passing by, to be honest. And I mean, we got a comment in a minute ago about Daniel Kelly. Here's one for you. I would have Kelly starting before Bernardo on Sunday.
If you're going to handpick a game for Daniel Kelly to play in, it would probably be that one. A home game, a game against Livingston, who, you know, they're really struggling at the moment. If there's a game that Daniel Kelly could come in and there'd be less risk involved. Not that I think there's much risk anyway, because he looks like a good football player for his age. And if you're ready to play and you're that age, because I'm not going to say that phrase again, if you're ready to play and if you are good enough, you can play in this team and hopefully make a name for yourself. So many examples around the world of players that have got that opportunity, you know, in a game and have taken it with both hands, and then you can't kick them out of the team. I hope that there's a good conundrum to have at the end of this if Daniel Kelly comes in the team and he plays so well that it's difficult for other players to get back into the team. I think, yeah, give him an opportunity. I don't know who the other two midfielders would be beside him. Would you think Iwata and O'Reilly?
Yeah.
Although, do you necessarily need Iwata at home against Livingston? That's the thing. Do you just do it for consistency?
I've seen that argument a fair bit. I don't necessarily get it. I think Iwata, you need what Iwata brings in any game, to be honest, because I don't think he's just a defensive player. I think he can play as well, and we've seen that. Like, he's under Postecoglou, he wasn't always at the base of the midfield. He played further forward. I think, you know, he's an important player in any game, even at home to Livingston. I don't think it's a kind of a thing where you look and go, you know, you can do without Iwata there. So,
Two people at the same time, Chilpill and Smeglugov, both said that they need games, so play him. Yeah, that'd be absolutely fine. I'm not one that would say take Iwata out of the team. I just thought he had a poor game at Tynecastle. Wasn't the only one to have a poor game at Tynecastle, but he was also very unlucky with the penalty given against him. So yeah, you probably warmed me to the idea of playing Iwata at home against Livingston. Yeah, I've got no issues with that whatsoever. Especially keeps some continuity as well.
I think that's it. Like, I mean, this weekend it's a cup game, but there's no other distractions for us at the moment. Our last game was last weekend. Our next game's the following weekend. There's an international break coming after that, so there's no real argument for me this weekend to change the team up too much. I wouldn't be against someone like Daniel Kelly coming in. I don't know necessarily if I would start him because I think potentially Kyogo. I think Kyogo will play. I think Kyogo will start and I think Ida will start, and I don't think they'll start alongside each other. I think Rodgers will go with that Kyogo playing deeper thing again. But if that wasn't to happen, Daniel Kelly would be the third midfielder for me alongside Iwata and O'Reilly. Just not sold in Bernardo at the moment. Don't think he impacts games enough. Odin Thiago Holm, we got a comment in about him. Don't know what's happened to him. We've not seen him in Bucky Thistle, maybe the last game. I don't know.
I think that's last it, unless he came on. He scored in that game. He scored the first goal, did he not, against
Bucky Thistle? I never watched that game, so.
he was actually okay in that game, but you would expect a player of his, you know, supposed quality to be better against a Highland League team, in all honesty. I don't really know what's going on with Odin Thiago Holm either. He seems to pick up these injuries that are undisclosed, much like when Iwata got injured and then he wasn't talked about for months, and then all of a sudden he was back on the bench, or he was back in a training photo, and then you knew that he was back or near about the starting lineup. He was on the bench last weekend, but he was never brought on. It was actually Kelly that was brought on ahead of him. So I think that tells you where he is in the pecking order at the moment. He's a player that we've seen in bits, and I thought he's looked good in some games, and in other games he's flattered to deceive. But he's a player that I want to see a bit more of. He's on a multi-year deal, so he's got time on his side. I think he's just into a five-year deal. So he's a young player, 21 years old. He's got time, but he's a player that I did want to see more of this season. I'm a tad disappointed that he hasn't been able to make more of an impact, especially with the injuries that have happened, especially to likes of Hatate. Cal McGregor's now injured. How has he not been able to jump in and make that position his own? I guess only he knows and the manager will know.
Wing-wise, what are we thinking? We're doing without Yang. Yang's been our best winger for the past 110 minutes or something, but it seems like a lot longer than that. I'm guessing Maida will play. You're between Palma and Kuhn? Who would get?
Yeah, for me, I think you've got to persevere with Kuhn. We've got to get something going with this player, because I don't know what he's done so far apart from that deflected goal against Aberdeen. He seems to really, really struggle to acclimatise at this moment in time. For me, it would be Palma and Kuhn. I don't think you really necessarily... I know Maid is important.
Really? Wow.
I just think there's not really any outstanding candidates at this moment in time for the wingers. They're really not performing. In fact, the only outstanding candidate, you would say, is the one that's currently suspended for two games for a red card in the last... In the last match, Yang would have been the first name on the team sheet if he was available, but he's not, so you can't talk about him. Kuhn, for £3 million, he's done next to nothing in a Celtic shirt. I want to see more from him. Give him a chance at home, maybe when the pressure's off a little bit against Livingston, give him a chance to run at his opposition marker and see if he can get something going, because it's been a bit of a disaster for him so far. I thought he would come in and instantly make an impact after that goal against Aberdeen. It was like, maybe there's something here. But, you know, he followed that up with a really, really poor performance against Hibs at Easter Road, where he was absolutely anonymous. So he's got to get something going. Palma is a player that's blown hot and cold. Maeda, you know, he probably will go with Maeda, but if it was me picking, I would go with Palma and Kuhn to get something going in that game for the two players. We need those two players to hit some sort of form. You know what you're going to get with Maeda and with Palma and Kuhn. You want them to spark into life for the rest of the season. If Palma can get up to the numbers that he was in the first half of the season in these final 9-10 games or near enough, then Celtic will be in a good place. But when he's not contributing, you know, the team's suffering as a result.
That's the thing people, I think, maybe forget a wee bit about Palma. Like, he's always kind of struggling to an extent because he's was replacement for Jota, and he's not at that level, clearly. But Palma was a really effective player for us when he first signed. scored a lot of goals, assisted a lot of goals. Remember he had that really amazing highlight reel after like 2 or 3 months at the club, and it was like assist, goal, you know, Champions League goals, Champions League assists, etc. And he's really, really struggled. And I struggled to put my finger on exactly what happened with Palma, but he's really, really struggled since the team kind of went downhill a bit. But he'd still be ahead of Kun for me. I mean, I just haven't seen anything in Kun yet, to the extent that I'm almost parking Kun for now and waiting to see after the summer if there's something new, because I just don't think the guy has anything to offer at this stage. And we'll wait and see if he does at any stage, to be honest. I've been extremely disappointed with him so far. And I was thinking about Rocco Vatta even before NG posted this. We'd like to see Vatta getting half an hour or so on Sunday. He's clearly got something, so let's see how he gets on. Again, if we're talking about Kelly potentially getting, you know, a start or at least some game time off the bench, Vatta should be an option as well. I thought it was really interesting when Roger spoke about Kelly after Kelly's goal against Dundee that he brought up Vatta at the same time. He clearly sees those two as the kind of outstanding young players who are currently at the club. And Vata's not been seen, has he? Really. So I would not be against seeing a bit of Vatta and Kelly. Maybe there's an argument putting both of them in would be too much, but certainly off the bench it'd be good to see them as an option.
Be good to see them, but you know, it would also be good to see Vatta sign a new deal, because he can speak to anyone at this moment in time. As far as things go, he's leaving in the summer, and there seems to be quite a bit of interest in him down south. I didn't read exactly what teams were reported to be interested in him, but I know there's quite a few names now that are interested in picking up the guy's signature in the summer. I think that's the reason why Celtic have not played him more, or Brendan Rodgers hasn't played him more, is because he's not committed to the club. Because he, it's much like the Turnbull situation. You knew that Turnbull had 6 months left in his deal. You know, he could go and speak to anybody in January time. And then he left the club. For Vatta, I think it's much the same, because he hasn't signed a new deal for the club. But Kelly has. Kelly's got loads of years left in his deal. In fact, he's in talks for an extension to his extension. So it shows how much he's rated in the setup. I think if his contractual situation was sorted out, then he would be getting game time at this moment in time. But because he hasn't, that's maybe the reason why his minutes have been limited. I hope he does sign a new deal, because you want to see young talent coming through and making a name for themselves and then staying with the club. But at this point in time, he could speak to anybody. So I think Celtic have got to keep the players that are actually signed up for the rest of the season or for further on in the rest of the season than they should be playing. I've not got a big problem with Vatta not playing at this moment. If he commits, then I would really want him to play. But at this moment in time, he could be anybody's player in the summer. So, yeah, it's one of those ones.
He must
ones.
Be in Rodgers' mind, though. He must be in Rodgers' mind.
Absolutely.
Rodgers literally brought him up, so he must still rate him and see him as a valid... What's the word?
Asset.
I was going to say valuable. It's something. No, there's a viable. Viable. That's the word. A viable option at the moment. God, that was a weird moment there. A viable option.
Listen, I'm glad it's not just me, mate.
to put in. It's Friday night and it's 9:30 here, to be fair. So time is getting on. It's been a long week. I wouldn't be against Vatta coming in at all. I think Rodgers clearly rates him, because I thought that was a very telling answer. And, you know, if he was to come in and score a goal at the weekend, does that not change the situation? Because Celtic then, you know, he sees what Celtic can offer him. He's getting some of the attention. We don't know what's going on in the background as well. The last we heard is that talks are ongoing. So something, you know, may be coming there. But we just don't know as fans, I guess.
Yeah, we've got no idea whatsoever until the club announce a statement, or unless certain sources come out and say that the deal is done between the player and the club. I hope that is done, because it's important that Celtic keep some of their young players and they don't lose them. I don't want another situation to arise where Celtic lose a good player and then he goes down south or goes abroad and plays some really good stuff. You know, it's a bit of a different situation with Ben Doak, because he was 16 and Liverpool come calling. You don't really say no when Liverpool come calling and he's getting first team minutes as well. But for Vatta, he's a player that's been talked about for the past few years. Remember, he played really well in a pre-season friendly as well. Was it against Legia Warsaw that he came on and he scored a stunner in Arthur Boric's testimonial, where he entered the roof of the net and it really showed that he's even though he was young, he had that composure in front of goal. He's a player that I did want to see more of, but it's always this red tape with young players. It seems to be at this age, got to sign them up, or you know, problems can start rising, the vultures can start swirling and swoop for a player. Yeah, I just want it sorted out for better or for worse, so that he knows his future and Brendan Rodgers knows how to work with him, and if he can work with him in the future as a Celtic player.
Yeah, just on the wing, there's a few people, Hazel and Alan, both talking about Kuhn on the left. We've not seen Kuhn on the left yet, have we really? So some people, you know, standing up for him and saying you can't really judge him until you see him on the left-hand side. Brian would rest Carter Vickers in this game as we don't want to burn him out. I get the point. I just think that, like, it's weekend to weekend at the moment. We've really not even got many games left. There's maybe one more midweek game to come for the rest of the season. So I'm pretty comfortable with the team just going out and trying to get consistency. It's almost... the issue for me is the players haven't played enough and enough together. And that's why I want as settled a team as possible. I feel this season we've just been going around in circles at times, and it's been like, oh yeah, he's the answer, and then we have a bad result and it's suddenly, no, that guy sitting on the bench is the answer, bring him in for a couple of games, and then it repeats itself. Last Sunday was a disappointment, but I would go out with pretty much the same team. I would have Kyogo in it though. I don't think it's a viable situation to have either Ida or Kyogo not playing for us at the moment. I think Rodgers has to find a way to get those two on the pitch, and I know Tony's big on this, I know there'll probably be plenty of people watching this, fans who are big in this. I want to see Kyogo and Ida up front, and what an opportunity this weekend to give it a go. I probably won't get a better opportunity. I want to see them. I'm telling you, on Sunday they had a good relationship, they were working on something. Get the two of them, not one as a midfielder, get the two of them up front, and you know, see if they bounce off each other, because I thought they looked good at you know, without taking their chances against Hearts.
Yeah, that was one of the problems. That Kyogo had statistically one of the best chances in the game, that one that Xander Clark saved in the second half where he was through on goal. It's a good save from Xander Clark, but Kyogo's got to do better, especially with a high-scoring chance that he had there that, you know, last season or the season before, I think he would have buried. It's just Kyogo's season at the moment has been so up and down. Has been the one real casualty from Postecoglou to Rodgers. Is this downgrade in Kyogo, or the way that he plays for Celtic? They just don't seem to be getting the best out of the player whatsoever. And we've seen it in snippets, we've seen it in Europe, against Atletico Madrid, etc. But, you know, it's been two... and against Rangers as well, he scored two goals against Rangers, two important goals, but it's been two stop-start this season for Kyogo. And he's been actually probably a microcosm of the whole season. It's been stop-start. Because you've seen good bits of Kyogo and bad bits of Kyogo. You just want to see something steady. You want to see, you don't want this roller coaster season. You want the one straight line from now until the end of the season with wins galore and Kyogo scoring goals. I want to see the two up front. I don't know if that means a formational change or it means that Kyogo plays as the number 10. Does that maybe sacrifice? Well, the thing is, if Matt O'Reilly's in the team, then he can play a bit deeper anyway. I think he will, later on in his career, will revert to being a deeper midfielder. I think that will be his role, as a sort of number 8, maybe even a number 6 in games. But right now, he's flexible. He can play the number 10 or the number 8. If you can fit two in the team, if you can fit Kyogo and Ida in the starting lineup, then by all means do so. And Livingston is the perfect game to do it. You know, I'm not saying that the pressure's off, but maybe the pressure's a bit lower than what it would have been if it was a league game. You know, Celtic coming off a defeat in the league, needing to get another 3 points on the board. It's knockout football, but at the same time, it's home. Again, it's at home against a struggling Livingston side. So if there's any game that Rodgers is going to experiment from now until the end of the season, it's got to be this one. And if he's got any notions of playing two up front, then this is the game to do it.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. I think this Sunday's, you know, an opportunity to see what the team have got. As we say, it's been a kind of long week, hasn't it, with lots of different stories coming out. And while all that's been going on in the ether, they've been at Lennoxtown, you know, working hard. And it's going to be interesting to see what the reaction is to last Sunday, because last Sunday was like a damaging result when you look at it, and the opportunity we had to go top of the league and losing comfortably. I know we've had all the official stuff, but the team didn't show up either. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of reaction we get on Sunday. I know people will probably be shouting at me because we really have no divine right to win any game, I do think we'll win this Sunday. I do think the team will be too strong for Livingston. Livingston are terrible. And you look at the games we've had against them this season. We played them right after our last defeat to Hearts, didn't we? It was the first game we had at Celtic Park and beat them 2-0. And it was a poor Celtic side at that stage, but we won really easily. And we turned them over with 10 men, you know, at the Tony Macaroni as well. And that was an incredibly easy game for 10 men. So I think we'll be fine on Sunday. I'd like to see something worth getting excited about, something we can really be here on Monday talking about that's getting us, you know, filling us with hope for the rest of the season, whether that's, you know, a breakout star like a Kelly or Vata, or whether it's like Kyogo coming back to form. I just think that's what we really want to see. The players set the standard against Dundee. That's what they need to try and hit every game, especially at Celtic Park. So, no, I'm excited for Sunday. You'll be going along as well, eh?
Yeah, I'll be at Celtic Park covering the game and probably doing instant reactions after the game. It'll only be me on, so it might be a wee bit of a delay in doing that because Tony's away on holiday. So it's just me that'll be holding the fort as well as today doing the press conferences. So all of that will be available over the course of the weekend. But yeah, it's another weekend of following Celtic, so you can't complain. Just hoping that Celtic can get something going. As much as I'll be excited if Celtic get a good result on Sunday, it's about the next game after that, if they can consolidate that, because there's been far too many. How many times have we spoken in this podcast about false dawns? You know, is this the moment? Is this the turning point? And in the next game, they go out and by whatever reason, for whatever reason, they go back two steps. I'm all for now Celtic having only positive steps forward from now until the end of the season. If they do that, then they'll win the League and Cup double and it'll be a successful season given the circumstances that they've found themselves in with injuries and a loss of form. But yeah, it's got to be the double this season. I'm laying the gauntlet down. It's got to be a League and Cup double this season in order to make it a real success. So that's the challenge, and I'm just hoping that Rodgers and his players can complete that challenge.
Yep, looking forward to it. Celtic versus Livingston Sunday 2:30. Your time?
Mm-hmm. I think it is 2:30, yeah.
1:30 for me in the morning. Great time for a game of football. No comment on whether I'll be staying up for that. We'll wait and see. But yeah, well, certainly you'll have some stuff going out around the game, as you say, and we'll all be back on Monday to look back on it. So yeah, that'll do us for another week and another video. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Ryan, thanks for your time. Have a lovely weekend, everyone, and hopefully Celtic can keep up the good feeling on Sunday against Livingston, and hopefully by Monday we'll be looking forward to a semi-final draw for the Scottish Cup. Okay, everyone, cheers.